How's the church?
Good.
Right on. You have my blessing to be interactive this morning. I gotta say, wow, what an introduction. That is crazy. That is super humbling because there's nothing special about me. There's nothing special about any gifting I have or anything. And it just, it's so interesting to see where I'm at in life and being able to be a part of this and now to be able to come and train and equip you. All right, and so the guys are going to run PowerPoint from the back. We had some technology challenges, but is that ready to fire? Cool. Awesome. So how many of you have never seen an I Am Second video before? When you see this, you're kind of like, what? What's this? All right, so when you go home, just type in the computer iamsecond.com or go to YouTube and hit I Am Second and all sorts of videos. In fact, 115 videos are going to come up. And they're just simple live stories of testimonies, essentially, of people who are far from God, how they met the Lord, and how their life got changed. And we've got some simple, average folks like you and me, and we've got some big-name celebrities that you might recognize from, like, Duck Dynasty or Bethany Hamilton from Soul Surfer movie, who got her arm taken by a shark, believe it or not. And we've got, oh, just so many people. Chip and Joanne Gaines are on there, people like them from HGTV. And yeah, all sorts of stuff. But bottom line, and the reason why I'm leading off with this is I want to just tell you, that's just a tool. This is one of the tools that you can use to share your faith. So if you're at all like me, and somebody says, hey, are you ready to go do evangelism? And you're like, nuh-uh. All right, then you're a lot like me. And you need tools, you need resources to help you do that a little bit more effectively. So you can use an I Am Second tool. So you got a friend who is like into hockey. You can say, hey, why don't you watch this video from Mike Fisher and hear his story, and I'd love to take you out for coffee next week and see what you think. Now you can start a conversation. Isn't that awesome? That's easy, right? That's not so hard. So anyway, we launched this tool, and it kind of blew up on us, and by the grace of God, we're about 120 million views from 204 countries all around the planet. People are accessing the videos. It's amazing. And then behind this work, our actual ministry is called E3, and so we're going to equip people, and that's what we're doing this morning, with tools like this and resources to help you to learn how to do evangelism and then to establish the church. Okay? So, but let's acknowledge the elephant in the room. 98% of North Americans have never shared their faith and led somebody to Christ. Okay? So, that means that probably 2% of the people in this room are like, I get what you're doing, and the others are sort of like, I haven't dared step into that. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And as we work through this message today, you're going to be hearing scriptures, you're going to see things in the heart of God, and you're going to be like, oh man, I haven't even been doing that yet. And that's okay. Don't take this as a heavy. This is meant to just lead you. I want you to see God's heart. And God's heart is for all peoples, for all nations, for all of time, that they're going to come to faith in Jesus, and he's going to use you. Don't leave. Some of you are ready to walk out the back door. Okay. So how did this come about? We'll go to the next slide. So this fellow, Norm Miller, he's the owner, chairman of the Interstate Batteries Corporation. You've seen that. They've got 350,000 retail outlets around the world. That's crazy. I didn't even know companies got that big. And this guy, so influential in business and in culture and all of this stuff, he read this verse in John chapter 12, and it said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. And Jesus is talking about being lifted and raised up on the cross, bearing the price of sin and brokenness for the world. He would draw all men, women, and children unto himself. And Norm asked the question, what if we started to lift up Jesus today in our own culture, in our own society? Can we make Jesus famous? Can we get him in front of our neighbors and our co-workers? Would he, in fact, draw people to himself today? And the answer is clearly yes, if we would open our mouths. Jesus is drawing people already, and he wants to use us. And hopefully by the end of this message, you'll see that God wants us to be a part of what's going on in this world. But let me paint this picture for you of what's going on in our country. Okay, in French Canada, it used to boast 86% adherence to Catholicism. So on a Sunday morning, 86% of society in Quebec was in the church. And within 40 years, we saw the most rapid decline of any Western nation in the world. And today, the Catholic Church is around 6% in Quebec. And you've all heard stories of churches being sold for a dollar and they turn it into condos and crazy stuff going on in Quebec. But yet, amongst the evangelical born-again believers who are following Jesus and living a life, telling other people about Christ, you're only looking at 0.6% evangelical in my country, in this country, in your country. All right, you've probably read it already. That's less than Afghanistan, which is just a bit higher than the most atheistic country in the world, the Czech Republic. 86, 88% atheist in the Czech Republic, and yet they have about the same amount of evangelical believers as we have in our country in the province of Quebec. Is there something wrong with this? Yes? All right, here's a pictorial for you. I want you to see it. In the United States, okay, out of about 160 people, 48 people, about 30%, say that they're born-again followers of Jesus. Hallelujah, that's awesome. I was recently down in Alabama, what they call the Bible Belt, and I was actually truly, legitimately dumbfounded. I had never truly been in the Bible Belt, where literally every street corner has a church. It's crazy. And the vast majority of people there are in church on a Sunday morning. I've never seen a place like it on the planet. Really interesting. But still, in the United States, approximately 112 people out of 160 will die without Christ. There's something wrong with this. And the situation's even far worse in Canada. We're more looking at like 10% in Canada. So out of 160, only 16 people. So when you're walking downtown, and if you were to count, and 160 people walk past you, only 16 of them are going to be in eternity with us, based on our current stats, the way we are reaching people in Canada. So 144 people that pass you by may not spend eternity with Christ. There's something wrong with this picture. And then you boil it down in Quebec, and it's even worse. One dot out of 160, and that dot represents a soul. That means 159 will die without knowing Christ. We have to do something. And so if we put this together in a comparison versus Canada versus Quebec, in the rest of Canada, there were 16 out of 160 that were saved. In Quebec, 2,544 will die without Christ. And so if we have the median size of a church globally is somewhere around 100, you know, just to round up. So if we say 114 people who are born-again believers in Quebec, you could fill the entire Bell Center with 18,000 plus people who are going to die without knowing Christ. There is something wrong with the numbers. There's a situation that's on our hands. And yet, I'm going to take you deep into the scriptures right now. We're going to like strap on, put in your seat, and put on your seatbelts, buckle in. We're going to go from Genesis to Revelation, and I hope you're going to see that the heart of God is that these numbers are going to change in our lifetime. Amen? You with me? All right. So, I've got the Bible here. Because everything I'm going to teach you this morning is coming right out of the Word of God, but we've got so much great stuff that we want to unpack that I put it up on slides. Okay, so feel free, write down references, take notes. We'll figure out a way to distribute the notes afterwards. You can have all the notes, you can have the PowerPoint, take it, learn it, reproduce it, send it out there. It's all yours. All right, because it's not my words anyway, it's from the Scripture. So here's a biblical case for multiplication. And if we're going to start at the beginning, well, we should probably start at Genesis, right? So Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." And then God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number." And what's bolded there, help me out. And do what? Fill the earth. Okay, so you're going to help me out through this sermon. You're going to see this a bunch of times. Fill the earth and subdue it. But do you see this? Right out of the beginning of this message, from the Word of God, you are created in the image of God. Let it soak in. You are the image bearers of the creator of the universe. His fingerprints are all over you. It's all over your life. The mark of God is on you. And he's told you to go and fill the earth. But it's so funny. He says, you are my image bearer. And then Genesis chapter 3, only two chapters down, we get the fall of man. Man falls into sin. They go his own way. They choose to do their own thing. And yet God's put his fingerprints on us. How is it that he puts his fingerprint on us and then immediately we turn? It happens so quickly. And you're going to see this cycle again. So Genesis chapter 6, when human beings began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. There's your verse of encouragement for the day. Okay? This is the thing. God puts his mark on us, and yet every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart is evil. We've walked so much in our own way that, in fact, in Genesis chapter 6, then comes the flood. So you see the fingerprints of God and then the fall. And then you see the blessing of God and then the flood. And you see these cycles keep going throughout Scripture. So then Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, then God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, and what? Come on, you got to help me out more than that. Fill the earth. Where did you see that before? Earlier on in Genesis. Right in the very beginning, God says, fill the earth and subdue it, fall of man. Fill the earth, go. Every inclination was wicked. Go on out there, Noah. You can take a crack at this and do what? Fill the earth. It's in the heart of God. And then Genesis 11, we come to the Tower of Babel. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. And as people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and they settled there. And they said to each other, come, let's make bricks. Let's bake them thoroughly. And they used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. And then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens. And don't miss the irony in this. So that we may make a name for ourselves. What? Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. Well, what did God say? Go and fill the earth. And you see what's happening here already by Genesis 11? God is saying, go fill the earth. And man is saying, let's build a tower for ourselves and make our names great. Why? So we don't have to fill the earth. Can you figure that out? Right away, God lays his heart out for us, and we go against his heart. And so, God could give up on us at this point and say, forget these humans. But he doesn't. He continues to pour in. He continues to redeem mankind. So God then calls and sends Abram in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. And the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, go from your people and from your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. And I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And who? All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Do you see what's bolded there again? Who will be blessed? All people. God's heart was never just for one person or for one tribe or one people, but it was for all people, and he's going to use us to reach them. Exodus starts to give us this mantle of authority, this leadership. He says, now, folks, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Imagine this. The God of the universe who created all things would say that you are my treasured possession above everything else. My goodness. Just 2 days ago, I was in the edge of Lake Louise looking at the mountains and everything I saw there. Moraine Lake out there. And I'm like, I'm his treasured possession above that? That's craziness. There we go. Firecrackers. All right, you imagine? God is saying that you are the treasured possession above everything else. So all the whole earth is mine. You will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you are to speak to the Israelites. Isaiah chapter 49 says, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles. This isn't just for the Jews, folks. This is also for the Gentiles. In other words, for all peoples. That my salvation may reach where? To the ends of the earth. Are you still with me? You starting to see the heart of God? May God be gracious to us and bless us. May he make his face to shine upon us. You sometimes hear that at the end of a sermon, right? May he lift up his countenance and give us peace. You've heard that one before? Why? So that your ways may be known on earth. Your salvation where? Among all nations. You see the heart of God? May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May God bless us still so that all what? The ends of the earth. You got to help me out here, folks. All the what? The ends of the earth will fear him. And then we hear this declaration. And we get into the end of the Old Testament. We've worked our way through. Then the book of Habakkuk says this. For the earth will be filled. It doesn't say it might be filled. It doesn't say 0.6% of Quebec will be filled. It doesn't say 10% of Canada. It says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And then the last book in Malachi, it says, my name will be great where? Among the nations, from where the sun rises to where it sets. In every place, incense and pure offerings. Incense was lit and lifted to God in the Old Testament. That was worship. What you did this morning on guitar is that. It's incense. It's worship being lifted to God. So in every place, worship and pure offerings will be brought to me. Why? Because my name will be great among the nations, saith the Lord. You see God's heart? It's clear, it's on display when you get this big picture of Scripture. You see that God's heart is for all. So then Jesus comes. He dies. He lifts himself up on the cross willingly to pay the price for my brokenness and yours. And he pays the price. He's the sin bearer who takes the sins of the world on himself. And then he declares that everybody who's found in Christ is now to go. And he says, therefore, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given me. Go. Make disciples. Of whom? Of all the nations. Even the Son of God uses the same phrase that God has expounded all throughout the Old Testament. Now the Son of God's pressing in on the same thing, brothers and sisters. Therefore, in your going. If you dig into the text and the meanings behind that word go, it's suggesting in your going, as you're going to Sobeys, as you're going to work, as you're going to your hockey team, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. When a life is transformed, they ought to be baptized. You see it right through Scripture. They repented and they were baptized. Okay? If your church does the baptizing, great. Bring them back to Pastor Ken. Get him to dunk them. All right? Bottom line, your job, bring them into the kingdom. Let them know about Jesus. If you don't know what I'm talking about this morning and you haven't chosen to follow Jesus, today can be your day. All right? Make sure that you don't leave the six walls, or how many ever angles there are in here. I was going to say the four walls of this sanctuary. Make sure you don't leave. If you see something in me that you're like, I want what that guy's got, not my abilities or anything, but Jesus in me, make sure you don't leave today without talking to somebody, and you can follow Christ today. Okay, but believers, you are to go out and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit and teach them, not just Sunday school, but teach them to obey. And that's what I'm doing this morning. My burden is to teach you this morning how to obey the Lord and step into this and to reach out. And as you're going, you're telling other people about Jesus. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And don't forget, folks, as you're going, God says, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. You hear it? And you have the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. How many of you say, yeah, I'm in Christ. I've been following Jesus. Well, the day that you became a believer in Jesus, the Holy Spirit came and indwelt you. So every time you go to open your mouth and you get fear, just remind yourself, Holy Spirit, you're the one speaking anyway. It's the Holy Spirit that's at work in us. Like you said, we don't have to persuade anyone. God is the one who's going to make his appeal through us. We just have to step into this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if you say, I'm a believer, then you're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. All of this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. I was a degenerate, terrible kid. I got swearer, blue streak, I was angry, I was frustrated. It's only because God reconciled me to himself that I'm even here today. I'm nothing. I'm just somebody who was saved by Jesus. But look at this. He reconciled us to himself through Christ, and he gave us what? A ministry. Okay, say this with me. He gave us the ministry. So you mean to say he gave Pastor Ken the ministry, right? Us. If you are in Christ, you're a new creation, and he has given you a ministry. And what is that ministry? The ministry is reconciliation. It's bringing people back into relationship with God. And so then the next slide finishes this. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting man's sins against them. And so often we feel this burden. It's like, you can't come in the church. Look at the sins you're living in. You're living in this lifestyle. You're doing such and such. You know, and we feel this burden that we want to call people out for these things that are wrong. They're sin. But it's not our job. We are not to count people's sins against them. But God has committed to us the message of reconciliation. So he's given us this news that we can say, despite what's going on in your life, God loves you. God wants to change your life. God wants you to have peace. God wants you to be free from that brokenness and that hurt and that pain and what's going on inside you. We are therefore what? Christ's ambassadors. You, I give you the mantle of leadership. Take it. You are Christ's ambassadors. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, you are his ambassador, his representative among the nations. You see it? As though God were making his appeal through us. It sounds so clear, so obvious, it's almost like I'm preaching this thing, but I'm just reading the scriptures here. God has made you an ambassador as though God is making his appeal to the world through us. Isn't that something? So we implore you, we beg you, world, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. This should be the posture of every believer. And I tell you, it's not easy. Every day I wake up, I have to make a choice. Am I going to step into this and talk about Jesus or not? We have to do this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says this, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Where did you see this before? In the Old Testament. And God knew that we might one day sit here in this church and look back and say, well, that's just for the Old Testament. This is New Covenant. This is New Testament. This is you and me, folks. It's not just for the Israelites, but you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. Don't miss this. You are God's special possession. If you're a believer this morning in this house, you are God's special possession. Isn't that incredible? Gives me God bumps every time. Woo! That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. He made you a believer. Declare it. You are a chosen people. 2 Peter says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Not content with 0.6% or 10% or 30%, but that not any would perish, but that all would come to repentance, and he wants to use us to bring it about. 1 Timothy says, this is good. It pleases our God and Savior, who wants what? All people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of truth. And then we stand at Revelation at the end of this book. We've now journeyed, and thanks for going on this journey, from Genesis all the way through to Malachi, through the New Testament, and into Revelation, and we see this glorious picture. And after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. From where? From every nation, tribe, people, and language, and they're standing before the throne and before the Lamb of God, the one who was lifted up for mankind. They're wearing white robes, a symbol of purity, and they were wearing the white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. Why? To exalt Jesus. And that multitude will be there because of the people that we engage and bring with us. Isn't that something? Do you see the heart of God? Do you see the mission? Yeah, are you tracking with me? And yet, this world is still broken. And so while we've been worshiping, and in this last hour, there have been some tragedies around the world. 72 women and children were sold into slavery. That's not right. That's not fair. That shouldn't be. 237 people died from HIV and AIDS in this day and age, really? 869 people in the last hour died from chronic hunger. How is that possible in our day and age? With the technology, the resources, the vast, incredible wealth of this land, North America, how is it that almost 900 people died in the last hour because of hunger? Heaven forbid. 1,250 died of preventable diseases. And as I'm preaching, and every 1.5 seconds, somebody on this planet is dying without Christ and never even hearing the name of Jesus. How is that possible with all the resources around us? So we got to do something, folks. So now you've seen the heart of God. Now I'm going to transition the last 10 minutes of this message. I'm going to show you some really simple practical tools. And this is just meant as a teaser. I'm throwing a lot at you, right? Drinking from a fire hydrant this morning. Okay? But you're going to come back, Lord willing, on Wednesday night for the next 3 Wednesdays. Myself and a couple of my colleagues, my teammates who are just average folks from around the community here. We want to reach Kitchener-Waterloo for Christ. We're focusing in on our backyard. Okay, and so every Monday we've got teams hitting the streets. Every Wednesday we've got teams, I think 11 or 1 o'clock at Victoria Park for Church Without Walls. And they're just literally walking up to people. They're offering prayer. They're sharing their testimony. If they can, they'll share the gospel. People get saved. People get set free. Signs, wonders, and miracles are happening. It's crazy. Things that we read about in the scripture, we're seeing it in action. And it's awesome. And so we're going to teach you some of the tools that we're using. And ultimately, you've got a decision to make. Am I going to use these tools? Okay? So, who do I tell? Well, the simple answer from an evangelist is everyone. Tell everyone you know. And here's an example. Acts chapter 16, verse 31, around there. Paul and Silas, they were beaten within an inch of their life for sharing about Jesus. Now, disclaimer. If you go out and you try to share Jesus on the streets of Kitchener, you're probably not going to get beat within an inch of your life. Probably the worst persecution you're going to face in Kitchener is door closed. No, thanks. I'm good. Don't want to hear your story. Not a big deal, is it? Okay? But these guys, they got beat within an inch of their lives. They're thrown in prison. And it says that they're bloodied, they're bruised, they're shackled, they're behind bars. And then they're singing hymns and praises to God. Oh, Lord, thank you that we could suffer for you. And they're singing and they're hymning, right? Okay? And then this great earthquake happens. The walls fall down. The shackles fall off. It's an obvious move of God. The jailer comes running in. He says, draw my sword. I'm going to kill myself because I lost all my prisoners. And they say, no, don't harm yourself. We're all here. And then the prison guard asks the strangest question. He says, how must I be saved? Why in the world would he ask that question? Because he was watching their lives. He was listening to them singing hymns and praises to God. Just like your neighbors are watching your life. And you've got neighbors who are begging. They want to know how to be set free from the messes they're in. They need hope. And they're waiting for somebody to show them how to get saved. And these guys say, brother, call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be saved, you and your household. So what does that mean? Your household. Does that mean when you got saved, all of your family member, your children, your wife, everybody got saved? No. What it means is God placed you uniquely in an environment where you can reach people. God has placed you in a family where you can reach your brothers and sisters for Jesus because I'm never going to meet them. Right? And then you're in a workplace, in a job, you work at a factory. God's placed you with people for a reason. This is a part of the big plan of God for your life. And then some of you play hockey and you're on sports teams and stuff like this. And you're meeting people that I'll never see. And so you are uniquely gifted. You've been given this ministry and you're in that place. And the question is, are you going to step into that ministry with those people or not? Okay? So if you have a paper or notes on your phone or something and we had more time, I'd say make a list right now of the people in your family that aren't followers of Jesus. Okay, by show of hands, just think about it for a minute. And when you've got the name of somebody who's in your immediate family, a brother, sister, aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa, oma, opa, who are not followers of Jesus, when you got a name, raise your hand. Okay? Give it a few more. Wow. Some of you, your entire family are saved, and that's awesome. Or you're scared to raise your hand, and that's okay. All right? Okay, now, and then you would write down those names because this is becoming your prayer list. And then you go a little bit further and think of your workplace. Maybe there's some people there that don't know Jesus. And then you go to your sports teams or your passions or your hobbies or your sewing club, right? Wherever it is that God has placed you. Or maybe you want to do it like this, mind map it, okay? Can you stick this up? So there you go. So put your name at the top, okay? And I've got this one uncle who's single and on his own, so I write his name there, okay? Because he's connected to me, I could potentially reach him. But then I got this one auntie over here, and she's got two children, and they've got boyfriends and girlfriends, and you've got a whole family tree of people that don't yet know Jesus, right? And you fill this in and start praying for these people on a regular basis. That's your household, okay? That's who God's designed you to reach. Or at least start with that. Okay? And then it's not meant to stay like this. Eventually you're going to cross names out and highlight them and say, this one became a believer. They got saved. This one got baptized. Right on? And this one ended up leading this one to Jesus. And we've got people all across Canada who are doing what we call generational mapping. And their lists are getting emptier and emptier. Because people are getting to know Jesus. Cool, hey? Are you with me? All right, and if you try this, you need to expect that some people want nothing to do with you. We call those a red light. You try to start a conversation with your neighbor. Not interested. And then you go out to the mall and you try at the food court. Not interested. Well, welcome to Canada. That's okay. It happens. It happens every time we go out. And in fact, in Canada, the majority will be not interested. You might find more are not interested, but there are so many who are ready, and they are interested. Okay, the red lights, leave them, bless them. Just don't worry about it. God looks on you still and says, well done, good and faithful servant. You opened your mouth for me. And then you're going to encounter these yellow light people, we call them. They're people who are sort of a maybe. They're willing to engage you, the messenger, but they're not ready to engage the message of Jesus yet. And that's okay. But what do? Do we dust them off? No. Try to get contact information. Hey, can we get together again and maybe we can study the scriptures or something? Okay, well, get this. 67% of North American society surveyed said, I am uninvitable to church. They will not come within the walls of this church. This scares them. Okay? And you've met them, right? Many of us have met people who are scared to come to this. Praise God that you're here and you love this. This is awesome. But this scares a lot of people. But the same 67% who said, I'm uninvitable to church, formal, 85% of them, the same people, 85% said, yes, I would study the scriptures in a home of a friend if invited. Yeah, hear that? Okay, so maybe we get a yellow light person. They say, I'm kind of interested in this, but if you say, hey, you want to come to my church? They might just say, I'm out. Do we just leave them because they're not ready for this? No way. Take the step before you invite them here. Love on them. Welcome them into your home. Take them out for coffee. Oh, wow, this has been a great conversation. Can we go out to Tim Hortons? I'd love to treat you next week. Let's get together again. And people will do this. They will engage. And then as they come to know Jesus, then, hey, we got some awesome things going at our church. You want to come check it out? And then they'll end up coming here. Okay? So don't put all the eggs in one basket. If they don't come to your church, don't just ditch them. Love on them. Show them Jesus. And then you're going to encounter people who say yes. They're like, yeah, I'm all over this. I'm in. And you'll lead them to Jesus right there, and you'll plant a group right in your home. Okay? And you're going to encounter believers, and you can train them. There's just so many things. So how do you get started? Okay? I'm going to give you a couple of tools, just a quick overview. You can start with prayer. Okay? So offer your family members prayer. Or you're walking up to someone on the street, dare to do it. Hey, we're in the area. We're offering prayer. Is there anything I can pray for? Can you go to the next slide, please? Is there anything I can pray for in your life? All right? And if they say no or they're freaked out, then flip it around and ask them if they needed any miracle in their life. Do you think we could role play this? That'd be fun. Or do we pick a strange volunteer? No, I already did. Ha! Come on up. All right. So this is honestly how easy it can be. And you can play whatever role you want. All right? I don't know. We often do this. We'll go like to the park, we'll go to the mall, and we're just like, hey, we're in the area, and we want to be a blessing with people. And I should introduce, back up, rewind. Hey, how's it going? My name's Jeremy. How are you? What's your name?
Ken.
Ken, hey. We're in the area, and we want to be a blessing, and we believe God answers prayer. Is there anything you need prayer for in your life? Yeah. Well, hey, and that's a typical answer. People are like, yeah, what? And then you can flip it around. Turn it into this question. Well, let me ask you this. If you needed any miracle in your life today for you or a family member, what would it be? Do you see how that changes it? It's a little disarming. So if you needed any miracle in your life today for you or a family member, what would it be?
Well, I guess my kids and marriages would be better.
Yeah. Okay. Right on. Can I ask your kid's name? Like,
Sarah.
Okay. Do you mind if I just pray for them real quick? Can't hurt. All right. And then if you read their cues and if they're comfortable, I'm just going to pray right now, or I might stick a hand on their shoulder and just, all right. And so, Lord, I just want to thank you for meeting this fellow and Ken. And he just mentioned that Ben and Sarah need help in their marriage. And I just want to ask, Lord, that you would reach into their marriage. And if there's some complication or something going on, that you'd help them to resolve it, that peace would be on their home, and that there would be a significant turning in their situation. And I just pray that you'd show yourself to them, not only them, but also to Ken. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool. Well, here's my story, okay? And so that was the first tool. Just don't leave. That was the first tool. I'm just offering prayer. And you'd be amazed. Prayer is like a sledgehammer at the walls in people's lives. You'd be amazed. You'd think that most people would be freaked out and say no to that. Many people will say yes. They're willing to track with you through prayer. Now you've just met a need in his life. And don't ask permission. Hey, can I have 2 more minutes of your time? Just dive into your testimony. So we take 30 seconds to share your testimony. 3 parts to my testimony: my life before Christ, a couple of words that represent my life before Jesus, what did Jesus do for me by dying on the cross, and what's the difference he made in my life. So before Jesus and after. And this is how we do our testimony. So this is what I would say back to our role play. So here's a little story. There's a time in my life when I was really messed up, angry, frustrated. My parents were fighting all the time. I used to swear like crazy, and I was just really bent up with anger. And then somebody brought me to a summer camp, and I heard that Jesus wanted to die on the cross for me and pay the price for my messes and brokenness. And if I'd follow him, he would set me free. So I did that, and I prayed. I asked Jesus into my life. And I tell you, Ken, I went from being angry and frustrated to full of joy and passion, and I love telling people about this. Do you have a story like this? And you see, now I put it back on him. There was a time in my life, and now do you have a story like this? And let's get the dialogue going. What about you? Do you have a story like that?
Not just like that, no.
Yeah, not quite, eh? Okay. Have you ever had any background in faith or following Jesus or church or anything, or where are you at?
Like, you want me to do a role play?
Role play, brother, role play.
I went to church when I was a kid.
But yeah.
Didn't mean anything to me.
Yeah, okay. And that's actually really common. There's a ton of people in Canada who are in your situation. I don't know if anybody's ever shared like what's called the gospel or the story of Jesus. I just take just a brief minute. I'll show you something called the 3 circles. All right? And so I'm going to put it up on the screen. And again, I'm going real fast. I'm going to take 2 minutes to show you this tool. We'll role play it. And then you can come on Wednesday, and we're actually going to practice it with one another in a non-threatening environment right here in our church. You can draw this in the dirt. You can do it on a napkin. You can get the sticker from me on Wednesday night and stick it on your phone so it's with you everywhere you go. I sat in a Tim Hortons the other day with my friend Dave, who lives just a block away, and 45 minutes we shared the gospel four times. It was literally like fishing for the souls of men. We're just sitting here. I'm like, hey, Dave, watch this. And he's like, we're going to do this now? I'm like, yeah. We go over, we share with this guy. I'm like, you want to see it again? He's like, no. Well, I said, oh, there's my bank teller. Let's talk to him. He's from Syria. Cool. We share with him. Want to see it again? No. Huh, maybe it's your turn, Dave. Uh-uh. Okay, let me model it again. 80-year-old guy, not interested in four people in 45 minutes. It was so fun. Anyway, back to our role play. So, look, you have a bit of church experience, but I want to show you this. Would you agree there's a lot of brokenness in the world, pointing to the squiggly circle?
Yes, there is.
Okay, give me a few examples of brokenness in the world.
I guess people dying with hunger, mm-hmm. War.
Sure.
A lot of corruption going on.
Yeah, totally. And you know, a lot of people self-medicate through drug and alcohol abuse and stuff. And I've got brokenness and sin in my own life. Okay, this brokenness represents sin. And sin is anything that we think or say or any action we do which displeases God or breaks his commands. But this is not the original design. God's original design was that the world would be perfect and pure. And in fact, the best thing he created, the peak of creation, is you and me. The Bible says that you are God's treasured possession above everything else. Isn't that amazing? But yet, how did we go from this perfect design to all this brokenness? It's because we went our own way. And the Bible says all of us have sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. So this is a bad news story, isn't it? Well, let me tell you, it's a good news story, Ken. Jesus came, God's only son. He came to the earth. He died on the cross to pay the price for our brokenness and sin. And he rose again from the dead, became the King of Kings. And so here's the good deal. If we turn and put our faith in Jesus, he'll make you a new creation. And Ken, there's only two kinds of people in this world. Those who are still stuck in their brokenness, or those who have been redeemed and are following Jesus today and have been set free. Where do you find yourself in this picture? Putting it back on him.
Probably somewhere in between.
Somewhere in between. All right. Lost in that sea. Yeah. Okay, and then we'd talk. We'd evaluate. Use that as a tool to evaluate. Where is he at? Well, would you like to know for sure today that you have been set free and that your sins would be forgiven and one day when you die that you will be with God in heaven? Is that something that interests you at all?
Well, if it was true, yes.
Yeah, cool. I can lead you in a bit of a prayer. I can show you how to do this. I did it when I was 8 years old and it changed my life. Let me lead you in a prayer. And you see the progression? So we just started by offering a felt need of prayer. Then we went into our testimony, our story, in 30 seconds or less. And he was still engaging with me, so we got to the gospel. And now if he came to faith in Christ, we'd plant him into a group in our home or at Tim Hortons. We'd start a church. We're going to change the city for Jesus. Amen? And he's going to do it through you and me. So, folks, that's it. That's a teaser. Come on out on Wednesday nights, and we're going to get more into these tools over the next 3 weeks. And you'll go away at least feeling like, oh, man, at least now I've got some tools in my tool belt, so I'm not so scared to get out there and try this. All right? Lord bless you. Amen.
Folks, this is what we're called to. This is what we're called to. We're to share the good news with people. And it's amazing. One of the statistics I heard, that 8 out of 10 Christians have never shared their faith. They believed. They experienced it themselves. But have never shared it with anyone else. We're not going to see this multiplication until the whole church becomes engaged. It can't be left to the pastors, to a few people that will do this. We have to engage the other 80%. If you were honest, where are you? Are you in the 20% that's sharing or have shared? Maybe it doesn't even mean they're sharing all the time, but or the 80% that just never have. We need to step out and step up into this. This is what God has for us. This is what he wants us. It's not that we don't want to. I really believe, I think most Christians, if you talk to them, they'd say, I want to do that. But what keeps us? Either we just don't know how. We feel uncomfortable. We feel we're going to get tripped up. And because of the discomfort, we don't do anything. Folks, we have to push through that. Anything you start to do, you're uncomfortable at the beginning. You start a new job and they give you a new response, you're uncomfortable. You start playing sports, you can't do it as well as everyone else out there. But we don't give up. We push through it. And then it becomes more comfortable. And we're able to. Now, if we can do that in natural things, what about the most important thing in the world? That the Lord has told us as Christians, this is, I've called you. You're to be my witnesses. You're to go out. I want to fill the earth. And the worst thing is, folks, we're going to stand before God and give an account. I can't imagine what I'd say to the Lord in that moment. Were you a Christian? Yes. Did you realize people were going to be lost? Yes. Did you ever share with your neighbor? No. Why didn't you? I felt a little awkward. We're all there. I, to this day, am still there sometimes when I'm engaging people. But you, as Jeremy said, you have to push past it. Now, these next three Wednesday nights going to help us. We're going to role play. That you're going to work out. You're going to get your 30-second testimony down. You're going to practice giving your 30-second testimony. The thing that I realize, because I know so much, that I tend to, sharing with someone, I got to tell them this, and I got to show them this, and then I got to say, well, you might have a rejection there, and I can go on and on. And really, they're not there. All they are, they need to come heart first. And you have to believe faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now, when you share a word, your testimony is producing faith in that person. You might think they're not open. You might think they're closed. Oh, they won't want this. But I found when I approach, something happens that they're open. And this is so simple. You know, this is the amazing statistic that I read a number of years ago. There are more people that believe in prayer than believe in God. When they do the surveys, there are people that are praying that don't believe in God. You know how they pray. They say, God, if you're there, I need help. And you start with a prayer concern with people. See, we just have to be intentional and be intentional to be a learner so that I can be equipped to do this. Because eternal destinies are in the balance. A young man came on Wednesday night, second time up to a Wednesday night service. Someone had told him to come. Came up, I got talking to him at the end of the service. I eventually said to him, have you ever committed your life to the Lord? No, I haven't. Do you know? Well, it's sort of fog. And I just sat with him right where Keyfly is, and he sat beside me on Wednesday night, and I just shared, and I had to really condense it, because I thought, I don't need to, I got to keep checking my, you don't have to get into that, you don't have to get into that. All you got to do is say, Jesus is real, he's there, he'll forgive you, he'll give you a new life. And this young man, I said, is there any reason why you wouldn't give your life? He said, no. I said, you're ready to pray? Yes. I led him in prayer. Now, folks, it's not hard, but you have to be intentional. You have to be intentional. I feel, that the Lord is imploring you through me, almost that verse that Jeremy said. I'm calling on you to step up into this. This is what you were created for. This is what you were made for. Sometimes you've had a bad experience. You said something, you turned someone off, and then you realize, I made it worse. Well, sometimes we can. But that's why you get trained. When you're on a job, sometimes you mess up and you do it worse. And then he says, no, don't do it that way. Do it this way. And this is the whole aspect. Don't give up because you had a bad experience, or you just say, you know, I just want to come to church and worship. I don't want to have to worry about this. Listen, let the Lord put a concern in your heart for people. This is what we're called for. Anybody can do it because he's equipped us all. We just have to learn and move into it. And so I'm challenged. Even at my state, even though I'm comfortable in sharing, I have to do the other thing, not share as much. You might be saying, I don't know what to say at all. So you got to learn, okay, here's what I can say. And just get involved. So we're setting these next three Wednesday nights apart. Start at 7, over about 8:15. And we're going to, Jeremy's going to be here with his team. They're going to show us. They're going to lead us through. They've done this with many, many people. They've seen great results. We're going to be equipped to enter into gospel conversations. Gospel conversations. You don't have to persuade someone. You don't have to twist someone's arm. All you have to do is just engage in a gospel conversation. And we're going to learn how to do that. And so let's stand together. We're going to dismiss. At the close of this service, on the different tables out there, there's sign-up sheets for Wednesday nights for you to come on Wednesday night, the next three Wednesday nights, to come. Just commit to it. Say, I'm going to be here. The next three Wednesday nights, I'm going to be here. Now, I know some of you may have to work and so forth, but listen. Is there really anything more important than this? Is this more important than a ball game you might be scheduled to be involved in? Ask yourself, is this more important? So I really challenge you. I'm urging you with everything I have within me. I just pray that everyone here this morning will be back on Wednesday night. That you're here. And sign up in the sheets. You can sign up online, kwcf.life. If you go, you can sign up there. You can sign up online. But and listen, if you go out today and you don't sign up, hey, you're still welcome to come. Just come on Wednesday. But I'd like to get an idea of numbers so that Jeremy and his team sort of know how many they're dealing with and so forth. So I want you to sign up. But just come on these Wednesdays. And we're going to see what God... Listen, it can change our city. If 120 people on the day of Pentecost can touch the whole world, what could 300 people in KWCF do to touch the city? If we were just all engaged. And so, God help us. God help us. And if there's anyone here this morning, and you've been listening to this, and you realize, hey, I'm not a Christian, you need to come talk to us after this service, and we'd be glad to share with you the reality of knowing Christ and moving into that relationship with Him. All right, let us pray together. Father, I thank you for Jeremy. Thank you for the call this morning to go into all the world and to share the good news and to have conversations with people. Help us to cast off our discomfort and our uncertainty, and help us, Lord, to become more confident. And may we realize that Satan is standing and trying to keep us from entering into this. Or we want to enter into this. We're going to enter into it. And we're going to be equipped to share the good news with people. May your blessing rest on this people. And on these next Wednesday nights, Lord, may these be powerful nights of training and equipping. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Go in the name of the Lord. Yes, let's give the Lord a round of applause.